As Grant has already said, the reading is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 to 17. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honour the King.
The well-known senior pastor at Capitol Hill Baptist Church in Washington, Mark Dever, says the following about government. He says, almost any government is better than no government. Almost any government is better than no government. That does sound a bit strange, doesn't it? It may not be right all the time, but I wonder if it's not more right than wrong. It's like the school situation we spoke about earlier, where you arrive at school and there are no adults around, and the children are just left to themselves to do what they please. And everyone does do what they please. And I'm sure it would be fun for a while, but at some point, eventually, things are going to start falling apart and possibly get just a little bit dangerous as the bullies and anarchy starts taking over. Very soon, the children are going to miss the teachers and the adult supervision. Or perhaps think about what happens when a nasty, tyrannical regime is removed and there is no clear leadership to take its place. That's a bit like what happened when a bunch of allies invaded Iraq in 2003 and deposed Saddam Hussein. The troops of the US and the UK and others quickly gained control of Iraq. But the defeat of Saddam Hussein left a power vacuum in the country, which led to widespread infighting amongst two Muslim sects. A democratically elected government was formed 3 years later, but the violent infighting continued. There was some good, but lots of evil happened until 2014, when it got really bad. Islamic State and then ISIS launched attacks in northern Iraq. And today, havoc continues in the area. Almost any government is better than no government. And government is a gift of God's common grace, because a lack of authority combined with the sinfulness of human nature is never a recipe for goodness, peace, and prosperity. Almost any government is better than no government. But how can we, as the holy nation that Peter has described in chapter 2, verse 9, how can we, as subjects of a greater king, how can we relate to the government that we are under? As Christians, should we be revolutionaries and try and overthrow unjust governments? Should we try and set up a theocracy where we are led by religious leaders under God's supreme authority? Or should we go to the other extreme and be patriots, full of national pride, promoting our political system as the answer to every society's problems? Should we be conscientious objectors and separate ourselves from worldly government and refuse to take part in elections and other things political? Or maybe we just complain constantly to others about how much tax we pay and how incompetent our leaders are and how unwise we think their laws are. In our passage this morning, Peter explains that never mind the type of government leading us, we have a responsibility to submit to them, even though we are citizens of another kingdom serving another king. We're to submit to the authorities in our land. As Peter explained in chapter 2, verse 11, we are exiles, strangers, and we're just passing through. But even so, we must submit to every governing authority placed over us by God. And that's Peter's message in this passage, in this paragraph. He's basically saying, as a result of who we are, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a people chosen by God, God's own special possession, and strangers and exiles in this world, we're to live not just good lives, but such good lives. Take a look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. In verse 12, Peter says this, "Live such good lives among the pagans, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." Let me tell you, that's not going to be easy. Living for Jesus is going to be like living in a war zone. The end of chapter 2, verse 11 tells us to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Not only were these Christians facing challenges from within their own hearts, but they faced persecution from the world. And the last part of 1 Peter deals with how God's people live holy lives, how they live good lives in a world that is against them, a world that is persecuting them and causing them to suffer. And so Peter's first readers lived in ancient Turkey, a small minority community on the outskirts of the vast Roman Empire that was being persecuted by Rome under the leadership of Nero. Now, you've probably heard of Nero before. He is well known as being an absolute tyrant. Now, there are some younger ones with us this morning, so we can't go into the details of some of the stuff that Nero got up to. But it wasn't good. Nero was bad news. He was rotten to the core. He tortured people for fun. He even killed his own citizens. And Nero is the authority. Nero is in charge at the time Peter writes this letter. Nero is the authority. Nero is in charge. And Peter writes these words in verse 13. This is what he says. "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king or the emperor, as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right." Peter tells them to submit to every authority. Every authority even means the evil emperor Nero. Peter expects those facing horrible persecution at the hand of Nero to submit to his authority. Almost any government is better than no government. The first thing I want us to think about this morning then is this, that living the good life for Jesus means submitting to every authority. We see that in verses 13 and 14. I'm going to read it again. "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right." You see, those words we just read from verse 13 must have made Peter's first readers wince. A bit like a child being told to eat their cold broccoli. The thought of submitting to Nero must have been really hard for them to accept. But submitting to government isn't a new idea. It's not a new concept that Peter has come up with. It's said time and time again in the Bible. Paul makes the same point in his letter to the Christians living in Rome. Turn to Romans 13. Verse 1. Romans 13, verse 1, it's on page 801 in the Blue Church Bibles. It'd be good to get Paul's perspective on governing authorities. This is what Paul says. "Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right and he will commend you, for he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. This is why you pay taxes. For the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. There's a lot we could think about in these seven verses. Here are three headlines. Firstly, Christians must submit to governing authorities because God has put them in power. Secondly, governments are instituted by God to administer justice. And thirdly, Christians should fulfill their duties to government. It is easier to submit, respect, and fulfill our duties when we are content with our leaders, when we're content with our government. But that's not what Peter is asking us to do. We are to do these things even if we don't like our government, even if they aren't keeping their promises, even if we don't like how they implement laws, even if we don't like the fact that they're cutting funding to important aspects of social life, even if we don't agree with the way Brexit is going or that it's happening at all. We are to submit to them and we're to respect them. We should be model citizens. We're so quick to criticize politicians and post jokes and moan on social media. One of the things I've noticed about the British is they love to complain about the weather. South Africans love to complain about the government. We love to complain about our politicians, whether as South Africans you're black, white, or anything in between. We criticize the South African government. But we should be model citizens. All of us as Christians should bite our tongues. We should think before we tweet or before we push the send button. You see, we're strangers, we're aliens, we're exiles, we're citizens of heaven. And Peter wants us to be different to the world around us. If we do what the world does, if we post what the world posts about government, if we say what the world says about our politicians, we won't stand out. We won't be different. We won't be living the good, holy life that God wants us to. And God won't get the glory. But notice in those verses that governments have a God-given responsibility to administer justice. In the second part of verse 14, it says, "Or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right." It's what Paul says to the Romans too. Governments have a responsibility to rule. Government is part of God's common grace. Without governments, the world would be in even more of a mess, not less of a mess. God, in his goodness, puts governments in charge to manage creation. I guess many of us are thinking, but what about when governments get things wrong? Like Saddam Hussein in Iraq, or like the cruel National Party in South Africa. Are we to respect them and to just go with what they say? Our passage in 1 Peter tells us that we should respect them, and we should even submit to them. Nero was just as bad, and if not worse, than our two examples we've just mentioned. But there's two things to keep in mind as we weigh up how to do this, how we submit to the authorities as God's people. The first thing is to remember that we live under a higher authority. And we'll come back to this a little bit later. The second thing is that we always obey God before any man. We don't need to turn there, but in Acts chapter 4 and 5, Peter says these two things. He says to those governing and judging him, he says, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges." And then in chapter 5, he says, we must obey God rather than human beings. You see, we must respect and obey the government unless it means going against God's will, unless it means going against God's law. You see, while we're citizens of heaven living in this world, we're to obey the rules of man. We need to stick to the speed limit. We need to pay our taxes. We should recycle as directed. But we don't obey if we're told to stop meeting as Christians. And we don't obey if we're told as a church that we need to marry or hire people with beliefs that go against God's word. And we don't obey our government if it oppresses people on any basis. But we don't obey respectfully and submissively. And we can't apply this narrowly to just government. Because Peter says that we must submit ourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men. That means that this principle applies to our teachers at school. Boys and girls, we need to obey, submit, and respect our teachers at school. We need to submit to our parents, to superior officers in the forces, to our local councils, to the police, or anyone else that is put in charge of us. We need to submit to them. When Peter says we need to submit to every authority, we need to apply it broadly before we apply it narrowly. It means that we don't make disrespectful jokes or rude comments on social media or make rude signs or say rude things or pull faces behind those in authority's back. We do what we're told. And if they abuse their power and cross the line by going against God's law and doing something that will cause offense to God, we respectfully obey our higher authority. Secondly, living the good life for Jesus will impact the world. And we see that in verses 15 and 16. But I wonder if it's worth it. Standing out and being different, living a godly, holy life, has its consequences. It's going to be hard, as Peter has told us. It's going to be like fighting a war. Is it going to be worth it? Last week I mentioned that our family took a holiday to Cornwall. We had a really good time visiting St. Ives and Penzance and going to Land's End and spent lots of time driving around to all these various beaches. I'm going to remember the trip for three reasons. The first one, and many of us can relate to it, the boys were actually well behaved while we were driving. And our strategy to avoid the constant barrage of "Are we there yet?" worked really well. So thank you for those of you who gave me that idea. I'm very happy to share that as well. But that strategy worked well. Secondly, and I mentioned this last week, the narrow, winding, busy roads to get to the beaches, and having to reverse and pull over, and our car is really big. It's really horrible on those narrow, windy roads. I really didn't enjoy that at all. I really didn't enjoy being led by a devilish sat-nav that insisted on taking us on all these country B roads. And an oncoming car would always come at the steepest, narrowest, windiest part imaginable. On roads that look more like off-road rally roads than public roads. Was really horrible, but here's the third thing. It was really, really worth it. It was really worth it. Even the long, steep walks to the beach was worth it. The beaches were absolutely amazing. I have restored faith in the beaches of England. The beaches were beautiful, white sands, beautiful cliffs, blue seas, and great surf to swim in. And just playing with the boys in the water, building sandcastles. It was priceless. All that effort, all that hassle and moaning, which I shouldn't have done, was totally worth it. And we see that living a good life for Jesus is totally worth it because it's going to have an impact on the world. Now follow with me in verse 15. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. It's restating what Peter said in verse 12. That those that accuse you of doing wrong will find no fault in your actions and will glorify God. Peter wants us to see that the way we submit to those in authority over us has an influence on those around us. We influence society and point the world to Jesus through our good deeds and by submitting to those in authority over us. St. Francis of Assisi is falsely credited for this quote. I'm sure you've heard it before. Preach the gospel at all times. Use words if necessary. Not only didn't he say that, but it's also not true. It's a false statement. We must preach the gospel at all times. But words are necessary. Christian action or deeds has never converted anyone by itself. It may prepare someone to receive the message and make it more attractive to hear, but Christian good deeds without a message, without proclamation, is just charity. In verse 9, we see that we are to be different, but we're also to declare the praises of him who called you. See, living good lives for Jesus requires declaration through word and deed. In life-changing, effective gospel ministry, you can't have one without the other. Our response to authority is a great way that we can live good lives differently to those around us. When we do, we will silence the ignorant talk of the foolish, and they will glorify God when he returns. When we as citizens of heaven obey the rules of man, the citizens of the world take notice. This should be a huge encouragement to us because the way we live does make a difference. The suffering you face for being different and living a good life for Jesus is going to make a difference. It does make a difference. And there is no doubt because God's word says it. So even as you're living the good life and it looks fruitless and it looks like a waste of time, it's not. It really isn't. It's not a waste of time because people will change. God will change people's lives as they see us living differently and hearing our message. By doing good, we silence the ignorant talk of foolish men because it is God's will. And they will see our good deeds and they will glorify God on the day that he visits us. Let me also say that if you don't love and trust Jesus, and there have been Christians in your life who aren't doing a good job of being different, that they aren't living good lives, holy lives, then I'm really sorry. If you've been let down by a Christian, and I know it happens because I've dropped the ball lots of times, many times. I've messed up, and I'm sure people I've hurt or let down have thought something like, I thought Grant was a Christian. And I'm sorry that we've let the team down. But here's the thing we all need to remember. Christians aren't perfect. It is possible for us as sinners to mess up. It isn't possible for us as sinners to do the right thing every time. Peter tells us that the world is watching us. But he also tells us the world needs to look beyond us to someone else. Someone that has never messed up. Someone that has always lived the good life. Someone who is always obedient to God. And someone who always lived the model life. See, that's Jesus. And he is the ultimate ruler and the ultimate authority. You see, Christians may let you down. World governments and authorities may let you down and probably will, but Jesus won't. And we're told later in Peter's letter that Christ, remember Christ is the Greek word for God's saving king, that the King Jesus suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous to bring you to God, that he was put to death in the body but made alive in the spirit. King Jesus died so that all of us, those of us who are far from God, can now be brought back to him and have our relationship with him healed and restored. If you're not a follower of Jesus, look at the life of the Christians around you. But more crucially, look to Jesus. You see, I may let you down. Christians may let you down. But Jesus won't. Jesus is the ultimate ruler, the king who is worth following. And here's the last thing we need to see briefly. Living the good life for Jesus means ordering our priorities. I love verse 17. It says, show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. Kids are really, really good at finding loopholes. Finding loopholes is what defense lawyers are paid to do. Loopholes are usually what we look for a way to get out of something, usually to get out of trouble. They go something like this, but that's not what you said. You never said I had to finish it by myself. You never said I couldn't play with that cushion. I thought we only had to submit to good governments. You see, this verse closes all the loopholes. If in doubt, verse 17, show proper respect to everyone. Show proper respect to everyone, not just the authorities, everyone. And we are to love other Christians in a more significant and more specific way. Love the brotherhood of believers. Respect everyone. You may not like them, but respect them. Love Christians. Love your brothers and sisters. But then we are to fear God. We're to be in awe of Him. We're to fear no one else. Fear here doesn't mean tremble because you're scared, but to stand wide-eyed at the wonder and beauty of God. To stand in awe of who He is and what He has done. And Peter's already told us the wonder of who God is and what He's done in the first part of his letter. You see, we're to respect everyone. We're to love your fellow Christians. We're to stand in awe of God. And then Peter comes back to the worldly authorities, and specifically the emperor. He says, honor him. And the English hides what's actually going on here, because the Greek word used for respect everyone is the same as the word used for honor, where it says, honor the king. It's the same word. And what Peter is doing is he's bringing the emperor down to size. They were to submit to the emperor, but they were also to see that he was a man just like everybody else. Remember what Jesus said to those trying to catch him out about paying taxes? Jesus said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. We're to give Caesar his taxes. We're to submit to him, but we're to live a good life for God. Give the king what he demands, but give God everything. I'm sure on the news we've noticed at times how politicians spin stories to avoid the truth or to hide the truth, or have said something along the lines of, today is a good day to bury bad news. They try and cover things up. As Christians, we should try and live lives where a cover-up isn't required. Our good deeds and good lives and submission in authority to those in authority must be plain for everyone to see. You see, we need to submit to our conservative government or to Labour as they get into power. But we need to remember that God is the King of all things. And even those in power are put there by Him. He is the King. He is the King on the throne. He is the King wearing the crown.